kiss your lips a thousand times, and more times than I can count. I have called you mine. You have stood by me in my
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Nice to have you with us today. This is Talk Back, your opportunity to call in and share your concerns, thoughts, points of view, and questions. That number is 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Today, an in-depth look, our classroom on the air, at how to stop those vicious cycles of urinary tract infections. New information from Victoria Towles. Then we're going to look at a natural way to help prevent depression. And if you have depression, a substance called SAMe. And this very important nutrient can make a big difference. I'll give you the insights. Research from David Hufnung. Is your doctor the best person to tell you what to do to reduce your risk of stroke or repeat stroke? There was a major study. They're clueless. They don't know what they're doing. Also, from our regular health and nutrition update, what can help prevent age-related macular degeneration? How can we help you deal with that damaged stomach from coffee and other foods? Also, we want to improve your arterial strength and so that it's strong, pliable. I'll tell you what we can do for that and how can we prevent breast cancer. We're also going to lower your blood pressure, especially if you're an African American. And if you're over the age of 60, you better not be sitting a lot. I'll explain why, some new research. As you see, we are the number one health program in the world and have been for 40 years. And we also take on important social issues, environmental issues as well. And I'll get to those a little later on, including an in-depth investigation on America's most dangerous pill. You won't want to miss that as well. But I will be taking your calls throughout the program. Let's begin. You have all heard the idea that an apple is loaded with nutrition, but we're just finding out more and more about the apple's polyphenol abilities. In one study, they looked at aspirin. Now, aspirin is a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug, and it kills a lot of people, thousands every year. Unfortunately, when your doctor tells you, but take an aspirin because it can thin your blood and prevent a stroke, that is true. Of course, vitamin E and vitamin C could do that with no harm, but then an aspirin can actually increase your risk of having a heart attack, and you can bleed to death from an aspirin because it can create bleeding ulcers, and that's even from low dose. So in a study, they gave apple polyphenol extracts, and they followed this for a period of time, especially where there was aspirin-induced stomach injury. And what they found was that the apple polyphenols, that's what you get when you eat an apple or juice an apple, reduce microscopic and macroscopic stomach injury by up to 45% compared to the group that didn't receive it. So one more reason why we should be consuming apples. Now, one of the best ways to consume apple is simply to have apple juice, fresh made, cucumber, celery, and green apple, or green apple with watermelon and lemon. Apple, red apple, and cabbage, all those are good for the stomach. By the way, this was published in the British Journal of Nutrition. We all want to protect our vision, and for good reason, because macular degeneration, cataracts, and glaucoma are very, very common epidemic in our society. New research that was published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition showed that lutein, L-U-T-E-I-N, and DHA, that's the active fraction in the omega-3 fatty acids, those two working together promotes beneficial changes in the eye, and that can help prevent age-related macular degeneration. Very important. So I'm going to suggest about 1,500 milligrams of the omega-3 fatty acids a day, which will contain the DHA, and 10 to 20 milligrams of lutein a day. That will also help. Pygeum africanum. Pygeum, P-Y-G-E-U-M, africanum, A-F-R-I-C-A-N-U-M. It can help prevent prostate cancer. This is published in the peer-reviewed journal Endocrine, and what they have found is that it's possible to prevent the reoccurrence of prostate cancer through the regular use of a botanical extract. Scientists at the University of Missouri, Columbia, showed that an extract of Pygeum africanum is capable of inhibiting growth and inducing cellular suicide in two standard human prostate cancer cell lines in tissue culture. And furthermore, the extract was shown to sharply reduce the incidence of prostate cancer in laboratory mice. So, africanum, make sure that you get it. It's also called the African plum. It's a tree that's been used for the control of benign prostatic hyperplasia in Europe for a long time. Quote, Pygeum africanum has a significant role in regulation of prostate cancer and therefore may be a useful supplement for people at high risk of developing prostate cancer. End quote. You get sunburn? Well, all of us who are out in the sun are going to get sunburn at some point. Well, beta-carotene protects against sunburn. This is from the peer-reviewed journal Photochemical Photobiology. And it found that beta-carotene markedly reduces the likelihood of sunburn. So we want to make sure that we can get it every day. And this was a 10-week program, and it made a big difference. I would add vitamin C to that as well, because that also make a difference. Coenzyme Q10 in this study was shown to make an enormous difference in improving endothelial function. Now, you've heard me mention endothelium, the inner lining of our arteries, but it's when that's damaged that your arteries start to clog and you can't get nutrients and blood and oxygen to the cells, and then become stiff and hardened and calcified. Then you end up with arteriosclerosis or atherosclerosis and stroke. This was published in the peer-reviewed journal Atherosclerosis, and it showed that coenzyme Q10 was very positive on endothelial function in patients with ischemic left ventricular systolic dysfunction. That's a major cause of heart failure. So my suggestion would be that coenzyme Q10 three times a day, and especially with vitamin C and garlic before you go to bed at night, because it can help protect your heart, keep your blood thinned and oxygenated, so you lessen the likelihood of having a stroke or heart attack while you sleep, where a lot of people have their heart attack and stroke about 3 o'clock in the morning. So that's important. Now also, reduced vitamin D levels could help explain why there is high blood pressure in so many African Americans. This is from the peer-reviewed journal of General Internal Medicine, and it took a look at the amount of vitamin D that was in African Americans and compared them to Caucasians. And they found that they have substantial reduction, and that is one of the things that can help contribute to high blood pressure. That's a big deal. Another thing with high blood, with vitamin D, it can reduce your risk of macular degeneration among women. This is from the Archives of Ophthalmology, showing that high levels of vitamin D could be protective against the development of early age-related macular degeneration. So that was very important. I would suggest, again, anywhere from 3 to 5,000 units of vitamin D a day. I've known for a long time from my own clinical research and counseling that when I speak with people, one of the first things that comes up, if they have memory loss or dementia or Alzheimer's, is that there's an inflammatory response, meaning the person says, I don't know what I've done wrong. I haven't gone out there drinking or smoking. Well, do you eat toast? Well, yeah, but that's not a big deal. Yes, it is. That's inflammation. How about gluten? Yes. And French fries? And you start looking at all the foods and beverages that people consume that create inflammation. Now, there's a new study presented at the American Academy of Neurology's annual meeting, and it showed that there is a substantial increase in inflammatory markers in people who are having problems with memory. In fact, they'll also find that C-reactive protein is elevated. It's easy to get C-reactive protein down, but you got to turn off the inflammation, and you've got to stop all those soft drinks, coffee. That's really inflammatory. One thing you can do that can help reverse inflammation is blueberries. But according to the Journal of Experimental Biology, at their annual meeting, blueberries also inhibit fat formation. And this is very important because we're an extremely fat society. Texas Women's University showed in the experiment of how blueberries and the polyphenols in the blueberries help with the tissue culture and can help keep the fat cells from engorging. So you want to lose weight? You don't want to get fat? Blueberries. Too much sitting after the age of 60 can lead to disability. This is Northwestern University. And here's what it says from their Feinberg School of Medicine, published in the Journal of Physical Activity and Health. Quote, too much sitting has been linked to increased risk for health problems such as heart failure and early death. Now, a new study finds older adults who sit too much are more likely to be disabled, regardless of their exercise habits. Quote, sedentary behavior is its own separate risk factor for disability. And that's after examining 2,000 women, 60 and above. Quote, regardless of how much time they spent in moderate physical activity, the more time they spent being sedentary, the more likely they were to be disabled. So, sitting, even if you didn't exercise, you're not going to get the benefit. And also, there's a new exciting study that shows how sleep removes toxic waste from the brain. This is reported by Natural Society. It says, quote, although we don't know exactly why, there's no question that sleep is crucial for brain and overall health. Without proper sleep, the chance of disease and stress increases notably. Now, researchers at the University of Rochester Medical Center have found that sleeping actually helps detoxify the brain, and that helps prevent clues to dementia and Alzheimer's disease. This was published in the peer-reviewed journal Science, and it reveals that your brain has a unique method of removing toxic waste through what is called the lymphatic system, not lymphatic, lymphatic. And even more interesting, it seems that brain cells shrink by about 60% during sleep. That allows the waste to be removed more easily. Quote, sleep changes the cellular structure of the brain. It appears to be a completely different state. Now, the research looked at something called GLYM, G-L-Y-M, phatic, P-H-A-T-I-C, system of the brain. And they watched the flow of cerebrospinal fluid and found that the cerebrospinal fluid flowed rapidly where unconscious, whether asleep or sedated, and barely moved when the mice were awake. Quote, we were surprised by how little flow there was into the brain when the mice were awake. It suggested the space between brain cells changed greatly between conscious and unconscious states. That means sleep and non-sleep. So one more reason that you need a good night's sleep to allow toxins to be flushed out of the brain. Who knew? Now you do. You've heard me say that I can eat a bowl of garlic, actually a bowl, and do. I don't eat it raw. I like lightly sauteed garlic, and then I generally stuff it into a baked potato. I can take cabbage and you steam the cabbage leaves. Then you roll the garlic. Well, I actually make a paste. I'll put tahini and garlic together with lemon juice and black pepper, cayenne pepper, Himalayan sea salt, and anise and fennel. Blend it all together and then stuff that into grape leaves. It's great when you're wanting a nice snack and it fills you up. Or you could do a whole, you know, nice little plate presentation. And you can add tofu into that and make a tofu tahini dressing. And you can add a little bit more lemon juice, give it a real tangy quality. In any case, garlic can be consumed in a lot of ways, but most Americans don't consume a lot of garlic. And some people, it's because it gives them bad breath, and other people, because it repeats on them. If you're preparing your garlic correctly, it won't repeat on you. And as long as you're consuming garlic and then having some juice right after it, it's not going to have any effect on you. It'll be gone. Take some mouthwash, clean your tongue. It's cleaning the tongue that gets rid of the garlic smell. In any case, I've told you how, if during all my travels, and they've been extensive, and I'm on and off planes and spending a lot of time in cars driving and filming, that I'm always taking garlic because I know that it can counteract viruses and bacteria. Here's the latest from the University of Copenhagen, and this is a major study. Here's what it says. I'll quote. Garlic contains a substance that is particularly effective in encounters with even the hardiest bacterial strains. Researchers at the University of Copenhagen have proven this. Aggressive multi-resistant infections constitute an increasing health problem all over the world. Bacteria are developing resistance at an alarming pace, so even new pharmaceuticals that can combat this threat are in great demand. Quote, we know that there is a potent chemical compound in garlic plant that neutralizes resistant bacteria by paralyzing their communication system. The substance present in garlic specifically prevents the bacteria from secreting the toxin which destroys white blood cells in the body. White blood cells are indispensable because they play a crucial role in the immune defense system, not only in warding off infection, but in killing bacteria. And that was from the Faculty of Health and Medical Science. So, what's going on here? Well, when bacteria clump together, it's known as biofilm, B-I-O-F-I-O-M, where they surround themselves with a tough film of organic materials. They become resistant to antibiotics. So researchers have been devoting much of their attention to a different type of bacteria, which cause infections in patients with, let's say, chronic leg ulcers, and in the lungs of patients suffering from cystic fibrosis. And now they found that these antibiotics are not working. Well, along comes garlic, and it works. So just remember, garlic is very powerful of helping lower your blood pressure, lowering your cholesterol, and killing a wide spectrum of viruses and bacteria. You start to get sick, make yourself even more garlic. And I'm a big believer in one of the best garlics you can get is elephant garlic. It's very large. And the best way of having it is lightly toasted. Then you mash it into mashed potatoes. Add in your olive oil and your seasonings and some sauteed mushrooms. It's delicious. Hard water is good for you. One of the things I do in our retreats is I encourage people to drink as much water as possible because the water they're drinking is from deep aquifers. This is water that's millions of years old from a Jurassic aquifer. And it's rich, rich, rich in minerals. Sometimes when you're washing, you find that it doesn't feel like you're able to get yourself clean because you feel kind of a little like a little shininess on the skin. Well, that's because of the minerals. If you had water softener, it'd get rid of the minerals, and so you wouldn't feel the same way, but I'd rather have those minerals. Here's the reason why. Drinking water with relatively high concentrations of magnesium protects you against hip fractures. And we know how many people end up with hip fractures. And that's a really serious problem. So drink hard water, mineral water, to protect your hips and to protect your heart. I can remember going into NBC National Studios, the Bob Kane Show, for a national debate with the person who is still out there, you know, protecting major industry and has been an advocate for the major industry and person that seems to have a great deal of disdain against anything that's actually natural. We had a debate, and she said that sugar was great, there weren't any problems, and I presented all these studies showing that sugar was harmful, including its relationship to heart disease, dental caries, obesity, diabetes, and cancer. And when coming out the studio, we went to the elevator together, and I said, I'm happy to give you these studies. You say they don't exist. Well, here they are. And she said, I don't want those. And that was the last time I spoke with her. That was 25 years ago. And still, it's hard to get the message out about sugar because people love it, but they don't like the cardiac risks that come with it and death. Yes. This is a major study, and now we're seeing overwhelming scientific evidence that proves once and for all that sugar consumption leads to heart death. Since the 1980s, the consumption of sugar has been rising steadily, and it's giving us a lot of unnecessary calories. So there is now a study where data was used, 14-year study, researchers look at the amount of added sugar consumed in the American diet. They found that most Americans have been consuming about 10% or more of their calories from added sugar. And 10% of the population have been consuming as much as 25% of their total calories from added sugar. And those who consume 17 to 21% of their calories from added sugar had a 38% increased risk of cardiovascular death compared to those who had only 8%. So, sugar contributes to plaque buildup, and it affects cholesterol. So eat the sugar, and you could end up dead. So that's that. Now, we don't need to have things that are not sweet. They're natural sweeteners that have low glycemic, and you should consume those. One of the things I do in the kitchen is, and I'll be doing that starting next week. And I can't now, but when I get closer to knowing exactly what I'm going to do, I'll put the word out and I'll allow maybe two or three people at a time who want to come by and I'll show them how I make gourmet vegan recipes because I'm working on my next cookbook. And one of the things I do is I'll have about 30 or 40 or 50 different little squeeze bottles. And in those, I put different extracts, I will blend up raspberries, strawberries, oranges with the skin, like blood oranges without the skin. I'll have all these, you know, red pepper. And then as I'm making different dishes, I'll use these. And that's how you really impart flavor and better nutrition and do something that really... It puzzles people at times because they don't know quite what they're tasting. They just like it and say, this tastes really good. How do you make brown rice using extracts of fruit? People never do that. I do it. And I'll show you how. Do a mango red Brazilian rice. And again, you're not using the whole mango. You're using the extract that you peel your mango, then you slice it. Then you put it into a blender, and you put in a little bit of natural vanilla extract with it. And then you blend that up until it's liquefied, and then you strain it. So none of the actual mango goes in, But the juice of the mango, which you've now strained in a strainer, goes in the bottle, and then as you're almost finished, once the rice, the heat is off and it's starting to steep for about 20 minutes, that's when you put it in. And oh, wow, it's so exotic. When people eat it, they go, what is this? I've never tasted anything like that. So I'm gonna share some of the, I have over 2,000 recipes. I'm going to share some of the ways making dishes so that you can make dishes that are more exciting and interesting to taste instead of just plain rice. For example, I will grate a lemon, I'll juice a lemon, I'll blend the two together, and then I make an extract of that, but I'll put in a little bit of Manuka honey. And then when I make my baked potato, that's what I squirt into the baked potato. And it gives it a whole together different flavor and mouthfeel. And instead of just a baked potato. In any case, you could add more strawberries to your diet, and you should. Organic strawberries, because non-organic are sprayed heavily. Why? Because they can boost your immunity, according to the new research. Now, we know they're packed with phytonutrients. In fact, just one cup of fresh strawberries meets 100% of the average person's need for vitamin C, but it also prevents heart disease. Why? Because the flavonoids and the antioxidants prevent the buildup of bad cholesterol, which can clog your arteries, and it's anti-inflammatory. But it also prevents constipation. People would never imagine that strawberries are good and virtually the same in many respects as fiber. But the body consumes this strawberry fiber in a way that softly cleanses the blood and regulates blood sugar and cleans the intestine and is great for diabetics and it fights cancer. How does it do that? Because strawberries are rich in lutein and the zeaxanthins, which suppress the growth of cancer cells. They boost your memory because the flavonoids enhance memory by stimulating the signaling pathways in the brain. So my suggestion is, for the next month, have one bowl of fresh strawberries every day. And finally, before we take your calls, and I'm going to do that in a moment, and our number is 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. I want to mention that I've always seen the benefits of high-dose vitamin C injections. This is the latest from Science Translational Medicine. They found that this is really important work, the cancer-fighting potential of vitamin C. This was done at the University of Kansas. They reported the effects of vitamin C given in high doses intravenously on a group of human subjects and found that it effectively eradicated cancer cells while leaving healthy cells intact. Now, as many of you know, because many of you met him, Linus Pauling was a friend, and he would come by the Institute of Applied Biology, where I was the senior research fellow in anti-aging medicine research. And I had a wall there that people could sit on one side and see the work I was doing every single night. And when I had friends that would come up, they would have a chance to chat with people. And Linus Pauling, on several occasions, was one. He was in a class by himself. And we have known since the early 70s, because of Linus Pauling, who had a background in chemistry, from Oregon State University, that they know that the therapeutic effect of vitamin C in high doses would make an enormous difference in human ovarian cells. That's where that research was done. And then they used it on a group of human subjects. According to the BBC News, the test showed favorable results in all three models as the vitamin C effectively targeted the ovarian cancer cells while avoiding healthy cells. But we saw that, I've seen that, at the Tri-State Healing Center. so many people who had advanced cancer have made improvements because of the very high dose of vitamin C they were getting. So, that is good news. I'm going to do more in-depth analysis of some of the important health issues and their solutions. So, here we go. First up, we want to slow and reverse atherosclerosis. It's a major killer. Most people are not aware of it. You've heard the term high-density lipoprotein, your HDL. Why is that important that you keep that elevated? Because it helps remove cholesterol from the attachment to your arterial walls, and then it takes it safely right out of the liver so we can eliminate it. That's why, and that's important. So HDL is important for helping protect your arterial walls from the plaque buildup, and it also protects against the bad LDL, low-density lipoprotein, against oxidation. Because when you end up with the wrong diet, when you have alcohol or French fries or grilled cheese sandwich, you're putting pro-inflammatory cytokines into the blood. That creates the inflammation that causes the destruction of your epithelium. And that then causes vascular adhesion molecules and platelet activation, all of which ends up one day causing atherosclerosis. Now, there is what is called PON1, P-O-N-1. PON stands for peroxidase 1, and it's attached to its surface. Now, the older we get, the more that the PON1 levels go down, they decline, thereby reducing the ability of the HDL to protect against heart attack and stroke. And that's why we have this phenomena that at a certain period in life, after the age of 40, we really up our rate of heart attack and stroke. And because we're getting more plaque, and that's called occlusion. So that's not good. We don't want that. So the age-related reduction in PON1 may also explain studies showing that statin drugs lose their beneficial effect as we get older, since the effects of statins are no longer sufficient to protect against multiple factors involved in the development of atherosclerosis. We have something that we can do that turns this around, and it's simple, and it's inexpensive, and it's all natural. First, here's what we're going to do to reduce your chance of having a heart attack or a stroke. And I'm going to keep it very simple. I'm going to keep it focused on just a few things. We know that atherosclerosis is one of the leading causes of death in the United States. And the evidence clearly shows that PON1, that's para, P-A-R-A, oxonase, O-X-O-N-A-S-E, 1, or PON1, is crucial in defending against it. Now, it's an enzyme. Almost everything ends in ACE, A-S-E, is an enzyme. Your liver produces it, it's released into your blood, and then it attaches exclusively to the high-density lipoprotein molecule. And as an enzymatic engine that supports HDL's beneficial action, PON1 has been shown to inhibit the accumulation of lipoperoxides in LDL, the bad cholesterol. And that's what causes many of us to get sick and die. What few individuals know is that HDL loses its ability to prevent LDL oxidation over time. And then what can we do? What can we turn around here? Well, a lot. For example, we know that when we increase certain foods or certain nutrients, we can increase the activity of PON1. We can decrease the buildup of plaque in our arteries and allow blood to flow more freely. That's what we want to do. I've mentioned many times, but we have thousands of new listeners every day, so I'll mention it again. Visualize a plump, moist chicken. You put it in the oven, 2 hours later, you take it out, it's brown and it's stiff. That is called advanced glycation end products. That's what happens when you end up having, let's say, a wrong type of food. You end up spiking your blood sugar with proteins, and that causes your cells to age prematurely. Then you end up impairing your glucose levels, you end up with increased homocysteine levels, and all these other bad things happen. So how can we do this to change all this? First, you can start eating more fresh foods, fruits and vegetables. That's right at the top of your list. Then the more juices, especially green juices you drink, celery, cucumber, cabbage, that will help open up your arteries. That's very important. And it acts as a natural chelator. When you take in the berries, blueberries, blackberries, raspberries, strawberries, etc., you end up turning off inflammation. Atherosclerosis begins with oxidation. You drink alcohol. You eat a pizza. That causes an increase in LDL cholesterol. Damaged LDL clumps together and accumulates in specialized immune cells called foam cells, FOAM cells. Now, the foam cells invade blood vessel walls, triggering inflammatory responses and the formation of early atherosclerotic plaque. And inflamed plaque attracts clot-forming platelets, leading ultimately to a narrowing of blood vessels that restricts blood flow. Well, when inflamed plaques rupture or clots form that block blood flow entirely, then you end up with a stroke or heart attack. So what can change this? Some Israeli researchers found that pomegranate, yes, pomegranate, disrupts atherosclerosis formation at each of these developmental phases, and the crucial role of PON1 plays in this process. And that was a landmark study, that was probably 14, 15 years ago, where they found that pomegranates were important in breaking up the whole process of plaques. And so when you consume one full 16-ounce glass of pomegranate juice every day for a month, you will do a tremendous amount of good to reduce oxidative damage, the bad LDL cholesterol, and to enhance the good LDL cholesterol. The Israeli researchers went on to show that concentrated pomegranate extract and pomegranate juice induce profoundly protective effects, even with advanced laboratory mice on atherosclerosis. So pomegranate not only reduced accumulation of oxidative fat in macrophages within cells, it reversed it, boosting the outflow of cholesterol by 39%. In other words, just in lay language, pomegranate was able to interrupt and even reverse atherosclerosis, not just prevent it. And that's because of the polyphenols in pomegranate. So that's one thing you can do that's inexpensive, easy, and you can also use resveratrol, res, R-E-S, vera, V-E-R-A, trol, T-R-O-L. That's what you get from the red wine polyphenols, and you get it from grapes and grape juice. Grape juice is actually your most concentrated form. So if you had a cup a day, 1 16-ounce cup of organic, Concord grape juice, you would be flooding the body with resveratrol, and that would help you also increase PON1 expression in human liver cells and protecting against atherosclerosis as well. So remember, the liver is where PON1 is produced in the body. Then another very inexpensive source to help your PON1, quercetin. Quercetin, C-E-T-I-N. It's another polyphenol. It's also found in onions, in red wine, grape juice, but also in supplements. I prefer supplements because I like to take a lot, and I suggest you take about half as amount of quercetin that you take as vitamin C. So if you took 4,000 milligrams of vitamin C divided throughout a day, you take 2,000 milligrams of quercetin divided at the same time throughout the day. And it also upregulates PON1 gene expression, protecting you against LDL oxidation. It does a lot of good in the body. I'm just telling you the one that we know about. So these are ways with pomegranate, resveratrol, and quercetin that we can help prevent a heart attack or a stroke. Now, I want to see that the people who have depression are helped. And it is completely normal, when you look at the world we live in today, to appreciate that depression is going to be attached to so many of the things that we take for granted. We take our pets for granted, and one day one of them gets sick and it dies. We take our friendships for granted, and then one day we find out that one of our friends we went to high school with or college died. We find one day that when we look at our budget, we just don't have the income to pay for all of our expenses, our standard of living, so we have to change that. But we may not have the income, so we have to change our standard of living. It's easy to see how a person could, without any problem of brain chemistry, actually end up, because of life concerning issues, become depressed. Most people, the first thing they do is they get an antidepressant. That will not change what causes you to become depressed. It's not a good idea. So when someone says to me, "Gary, I don't have much money. Do you have something that can help with depression that is not expensive, that's safe, that's easy?" So where I would sit with someone and go over multiple things that they could change and do, I'm going to give you just one thing. SAMI. S-A-M with a little E. SAMI. This is a form of methylated methionine. And it's been around for a while. Wow, it's been used in Europe as an antidepressant for a long time. In fact, there was finally a double-blind, placebo-controlled trial by the National Institutes of Mental Health that evaluated SAMI as a additive therapy to those suffering from major depression who were resistant to the FDA-approved drugs. Researchers at Harvard Medical School and the Massachusetts General Hospital gave patients 800 milligrams of SAMI twice a day, along with a selective serotonin reuptake inhibiting drug. Relative to a placebo, the patients who received SAMI showed a 105% higher response rate and 121% higher percent remission rate. So that's major, major. And that was published in the American Journal of Psychiatry. So if you can only do one thing, SAMI. Now, some people would say, what about St. John's? And I would say St. John's is good, but SAMI is better. And one other thing, when we consider how many Americans develop urinary and tract infections, it's into the millions every year. In fact, 1 million people end up going to an emergency room. 100,000 of them will be hospitalized. It'll cost upwards of $1.7 to $2 billion. In fact, one-third of all women in America will contract the urinary tract infection by the age of 24. And once you have it, your risk of reoccurrence is 20%. Now, all that conventional orthodox medicine could do is just give you some broad-spectrum antibiotics, but including Cipro, that I'm absolutely against because it's deadly. You end up with some very serious effects: digestive distress, fatigue, nausea, secondary infection, and then eventually the bacteria is going to become resistant, and then you've got trouble. What if I told you that there's something that's really inexpensive? It's called hibiscus. Hibiscus. And hibiscus is a flower, and there's a specific hibiscus. It's called SAB, S-A-B, Darifa, D-A-R-I-F-F-A. And that extract directly kills the bacteria, the microorganisms that cause urinary tract infections. And it also can kill the fungus that's responsible for yeast infections, Candida albicans. But it's all natural, and it's very good, even taken with cranberry and sweetened cranberry juice. So if you want to help yourself overcome the bladder infections, I suggest taking the hibiscus sabdarifa flower extract and cranberry juice together and watch within 2 weeks, it should be gone and stay gone. Now, we all want to reduce heart attack and stroke, and I told you a little earlier one way to go about it. But there are other ways to going back about it as well, and I want to talk about a single nutrient. And we got to thank Melissa Block, who supported all this research. And this is about vitamin K. Now, I'm sure you know vitamin K is all about the blood-clotting vitamin. And that's generally the only reason people take it. People taking anticoagulant drugs to prevent abnormal blood clots are warned to avoid foods containing vitamin K for fear that the nutrient will counteract the blood thinner's effects. And so that's it. It's like a single-use vitamin. But it's not. Vitamin K can build strong bones. It can maintain blood vessel integrity. In fact, there is compelling evidence that vitamin K can do all kinds of wonderful things inside your body, and the research is there to prove it, not the least of which is to help protect you against a heart attack or a stroke. But to understand vitamin K, understand that it's only supposed to be about 65 micrograms for an adult and 80 micrograms for a male and 65 for a female. And clinical studies have shown as much as 45 milligrams per day without any problems, thus showing that ingesting a tiny amount may not be doing the job. You should maybe consider being with a qualified nutritionist and getting a proper amount based upon what your body needs. First, let's look at calcium. Vitamin K's actions on bone and the circulatory system arise from its effect on the utilization of calcium in the body. Calcium is generally thought of as a bone-building mineral, but the buildup of this mineral isn't always a good thing. When calcium deposits form in blood vessel walls, those walls become stiff and non-compliant, and a process is known as arterial sclerosis, or in the vernacular, hardening of the arteries. And arterial sclerosis isn't always caused by atherosclerosis, where cholesterol-filled lesions build up and obscure blood flow through the coronary arteries. Atherosclerosis is only one type of arteriosclerosis. Calcium deposition in the artery walls increases heart attack risk. In the world-famous Framingham study, subjects with detectable arterial calcification by the age of 35 were 700% more likely to have a heart attack during the course of the study. So then what role does vitamin K play in all this? Well, vitamin K turns on proteins that regulate the deposition of calcium during a process called carboxylation. And when these proteins have insufficient vitamin K supplies, they're not able to fully carboxylate these calcium-controlling proteins. Their state of undercarboxylation prompts them to allow calcium to drift from bone to arteries and other tissue. So vitamin K helps block that whole process. And then also, it's great for your heart. Supplementing doses of vitamin K are gaining recognition because of the heart. In one study, where rats were fed a diet designed to cause calcium buildup in the blood vessels, some of the rats were given vitamin K while another group got vitamin E. The ratio of arterial calcification between animals receiving supplemental vitamin K versus no K was astonishing. 1 to 17.5. That's a tremendous increase. So vitamin K helps the heart. It also helps with osteoporosis. Now, vitamin K is found in, K1 at least, is found in chlorophyll-rich plant foods, especially dark green leafy vegetables. Vitamin K2 is made by the probiotic bacteria that reside in the intestinal tract, and vitamin K3 is produced during the hydrogenation of oils. And vitamin K2 can be made into K1, but it's not so easy. So just get your vitamin K. It's enormously important in helping your heart, your bones, even in cancer. Generally, 10 milligrams a day is a good dose of any person interested in optimal health and longevity and protecting their heart. Let's say hello now to, who do we have? Lisa from Maryland. Hi, Lisa, your turn. You're on the air, Lisa.
I have a back problem, and my doctor said I need to go swimming, but I know the water has a lot of chlorine, and I would just wonder if you have any advice as far as help with the, like something I can put on my skin, or what should I do? I'm just afraid of too much chlorine.
Okay,
water.
It's not the skin that you have to be concerned about. There's three things why I never suggest people swim in a public pool. One, because nobody washes themselves, or I wouldn't say nobody, but there's no requirement for people to wash themselves before they go in, and as a result, fecal matter is going to come out, float in the water, and you're going to drink it. All right? So that is a definite negative. And number two is you're breathing in chlorine, and in public pools, they put even more chlorine in the water, and that's extremely damaging to the lungs and to the brain. It's a toxin to the blood. And three, you could end up with any sore that you might have. That sore on a person could have athlete's feet, they could have candida, and that, because the aqueous medium, can get into the water. So my suggestion is don't use that. You know, if you can afford it, get yourself your own small. It's one of these wave pools where you get in, you swim against a current that, you know, is very strong, and it's a phenomenal workout. If you can't afford that, then I would suggest doing power biking or some form of light or gentle on the joints and the knees aerobic activity. Okay, all the best to you.
Like a sweet morning, I took one look at you. It was plain to see you were my destiny. With arms open wide, I threw away my pride. I sacrificed for you, dedicate my